Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live here on Sports Grid. This is hour number two of the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on a Wednesday morning previewing some Major League Baseball action. The baseball board begins at 1:40 with Brewers Pirates, and we will take a look at that game in a little bit, but we want to start, Donnie, with a series that is now evened up between two teams that have big-time expectations, and that would be both the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers, this is one of the lower numbers we've seen on LA to start this season, under a minus 140 marker. Total here looks at 8.5. It's Gonsolin. It's Morton. Where's the value, Donnie, in Dodgers-Braves?
Yeah, it's great. Now, the reason why we pick out some of these games, because two of the better teams in baseball are squaring up, Atlanta and the Los Angeles Dodgers. If I take a look at this game and the way they set up, both of their bullpens, sensational. Even though their lineups, you say, man, one after another, they can get after it. More likely than yesterday, you're going to get some of those lower scoring games, which we're going to lean to today and take an under in this one. But also the philosophy of when you see the Dodgers, Kevin, at a price like this, you don't get it that often. You just blindly fire away. But if you're matching up, Charlie Morton's a pretty good pitcher, struggling a little bit here at the start of 2022 with an xFIP of 5.41. But then if we flip it over to Gonsolin, same thing. He's only faced about 35 or so batters this year, a 5.90 xFIP. You say, well, hold on, Donnie. Why would you want an under in this type of scenario? Well, you're going to get in a pitcher's ballpark, and you have two good bullpens, and the offenses, quite frankly, haven't caught up to each other. So if you're trying to focus in on what makes sense, maybe a hitter prop parlay, a lot of these games are showing up with the same tendencies here, where the top of the lineup is doing well, and then you're not getting much out of the bottom lineup at all. And hopefully this does change once we start getting the hitting weather. So if we take a look at Atlanta here, right, anticipated starting lineup. Look at the first four, Albies, Olsen, Riley, and Ozuna. ISO power numbers this year, Kevin, versus right-handed pitching for those guys, 273, 281, 229, and 378. Like, fantastic, man. Sign me up here. Braves should be able to hit Gonsolin, and they probably should. But take a look at five and later here in their lineup that we anticipate. 0.040, 0.120, 0.094, 0, and 0.125 ISO power numbers. So nothing really working out. It's almost like if you get through the first four in the Braves lineup today, you should be on cruise control. So instead of taking a side in this one, because I do think the Dodgers are the better overall ball club, and they're at a cheaper price, I would lean that way. But once again, the under is the name of the day, and I'm going to probably look towards an under in this Braves-Dodgers game.
It makes some sense here, right? I mean, Gonsolin's been solid for this team, and Morton has higher expectations than what the current early, you know, 6.10 ERA checks in at here. I think the one thing I would caution on, Donnie, and, you know, we talk about, you know, the concept of trap lines, this, that, and what have you, but the Dodgers, you kind of, right, just lost their third game here to Atlanta. The first two were losses to the Rockies, and if I'm remembering correctly, they came in consecutive games. Yes, they did. The Dodgers are the kind of team that people will absolutely line it up and say, psh, no way they lose two in a row. And now you're rocking up to this game. It's a palatable number on the Dodgers. People are going to be lining this up easy. There is a pitching advantage here for Charlie Morton, I would argue, over Tony Gonsolin. And the lineups to, you know, the Dodgers, I was going to say it's neutral. It's not neutral. But the Braves have enough, I would say, to be absolutely live here in this game today. Really, really excited to watch these teams go at it in the middle of the afternoon. Want to make sure our radio audience is in the mix right here with us on the early line. You are with myself, Kevin Walsh, and Donnie Wrightside on SiriusXM Channel 159. Taking a look at this baseball board, Donnie, and moving it over to Reds Padres. Boy, oh boy, as the tank worked in Cincinnati, this team is awful. They're 2-10, and anytime they're throwing Vladimir Gutierrez, I don't anticipate it gets any better. Mackenzie Gore going out there for what I believe is the second start in his major league career. What are your thoughts right now for Padres Reds?
I think you see the 8.5. Like, okay, Padres should be able to jump out. The Padres are 8-5 on the season. They'll have a good season. They're going to get into the playoffs. I do believe that. They should win today. But this is the game I brought up, not because it was a minus 200 and why would we preview this. Let's take a look here overall what we're going to get out of the lineup today for the San Diego Padres batters. Gutierrez is terrible. 7.25 xFIP on the season. That is ridiculously high. Lefties, 440 weighted on base percentage. Righties, 411 versus Gutierrez. They should have their way. But this is where the rubber meets the road here. So you say, okay, bad pitcher, should be able to hammer him. But let's take a look here at the Padres of the anticipated starting lineup that they're going to put out today versus right-handed pitching for the season. It's been brutal. I mean, Grisham the leadoff, a .032 ISO power number coupled with a .239 weighted on base percentage. Nola, a zero ISO power number. This isn't, Kevin, first week of the season where he faced, you know, three times versus a right-handed pitcher. 25 at-bats, he's at a zero with a .287 weighted on base percentage. Manny Machado, who I was saying to myself should be a legitimate candidate possibly for an MVP. How about him versus right-handed pitching this year, Kevin? A .132 ISO power number to .317 weighted on base percentage. Cronenworth out of the four hole here as your cleanup hitter. A .103 ISO power number and a .288 weighted on base percentage. Once again, looking at this game, Gutierrez is a terrible pitcher. But maybe the Padres only need three runs to actually win this game. Another under for me. Another under for me out there in Petco.
I'll tell you this, if you kind of take the look from Donnie there on the fact that Gutierrez maybe has a little bit more success than anticipated, his strikeout prop is 3.5, and it's +102. Some of the projections we typically look at see him getting over even a 4 marker there at plus money. If he's going a little bit longer, it could line up there on Gutierrez. By the way, for these guys, like the floor is 3. That's the bottom. You just need to go one more over that number. Something to look at a plus price. Plenty more Major League Baseball to preview right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball preview rolls on here on the early line, Donnie. We mentioned in our number one, Halos and Strohs, as you know, the Angels finally breaking through and being able to beat that team, something that it feels, it's like, man, is this ever going to happen for them? They just, I don't know, just the matchup, it wasn't there, right? But here they are today now with a real opportunity to take this series, and Shohei is on the mound. And they're favored in Houston. Jake Odorizzi throws for the Astros. What do you make here? Can the Angels take this series?
Yeah, let's see if they can, because Ohtani will be on the mound now. You know, performance not up to what he would like it to be, but his xFIP number early on the season for Shohei Ohtani, very good at a 2.39, striking out close to 36% of the batters, Kevin, that he's faced on the season. The one thing that's gotten to him a little bit, though, are left-handed batters. So if you're looking at this game saying, do I think the Angels can win? I do. Do I think it could be the possibility of an under? Maybe, but I do think there are some batters that might be able to get to Ohtani. So if we take a look at Ohtani, who's faced 19 left-handed batters on the season so far, Kevin, he's actually got a .522 weighted on base average to those 19 guys and a .313 ISO power number. So if we flip that over to see what makes sense here on that lineup here for the Astros, number two in the lineup today, as we anticipate, Michael Brantley, a .200 ISO power number versus righties this year and a .354 weighted on base percentage. But even better, Yordan Alvarez, .769 ISO power number through 15 at-bats through right-handed pitching with a .618 weighted on base percentage. So I know it's not Dinger Tuesday here since it's Wednesday, but maybe a chance for Alvarez to go deep against Shohei Ohtani. If we flip it over here and take a look at Jake Odorizzi early in his season, the exact opposite xFIP of what we just talked about here for Shohei Ohtani, that's coming in at a 7.55 because he's not striking out any batters at all. Only 7% of the batters that he's faced, he struck out. Now, he's faced 41 total batters on the season. Lefties also, Kevin, doing a little bit of damage against Jake Odorizzi to a 488 weighted on base percentage. So if you line that up, your favorite guy out here, Jared Walsh, 214 ISO power number, 378 weighted on base percentage. You look at Marsh, 294 ISO power number, 444 weighted on base percentage versus righties. So some of these guys can do damage. So if I'm looking at this game here, right, and we're listed at an 8.5 total, the one thing I do know I don't have to worry about are weather conditions being in the 40s here, since Houston is in a dome and maybe they even open up the dome once in a while here to let some of the warmer air in. But I actually think this game has a solid chance to go over, even if we don't get an Altuve appearance and we're expecting Trout to be in. But even if he's not, I think they can get the 9 runs in this game.
I like that. I like that a lot. I wanted to say, because obviously, you know, I know Donnie's anxiously awaiting for it to be a month from now where the volume of statistics there, the weather's going to change, this, that, and the third. But we're starting to add to the divisional matchups. Second time he's seen him. Third time he's seen him here. And it's twofold for Ohtani. It'd be the second time this year the Astros have seen Ohtani. But there's no strikeout prop currently listed for Shohei. 4 2/3 innings. 9 Ks in that opening start versus Houston. I'm curious what that number looks like here today. He had 5 3 2/3 versus Texas. He just struggled. He didn't go very long. Ohtani has been a strikeout pitcher. We'll see if the strikeout pitch is working for him today. How about Yanks Tigers, Donnie? The Yanks throw Luis Severino. Look, you know how you were joking, like Max Scherzer's the worst pitcher on the Mets, right? But that was just a joke, and you know what I mean? Like, there's a very real chance, Donnie, that we get to the playoffs and Gerrit Cole is not the number one for the New York Yankees. And if that's the case, it's a good chance that it's because Luis Severino he's going today for the Bronx Bombers. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, if we take a look overall, you see that 7.5 total, which again is no surprise. We're waiting for baseball weather to heat up, and quite frankly, you would usually see a 7.5. Wait a second. Yankees might be able to get the 7.5 themselves against the Detroit Tigers, but that hasn't been the case. The unders are the name of the day. Now, also, if you take a look at Severino here, 355 xFIP number on the season, which isn't bad. He's only faced 35 batters. He is absolutely, Kevin, dominant against right-handed batters. But early on in the season, only 11 lefties that he's faced, 428 weighted on base percentage and a 400 ISO power number. The reason we bring that up, you take a look today, Grossman, switch hitter, which will be a lefty. Meadows, lefty. Candelario, switch hitter, will be from the lefty side. Badu, Barnhart, and Castro. So you're going to have a lot of lefties here, but again, just because you're a lefty doesn't mean you're going to do damage against anybody. You have to be a solid lefty because facing right-handed pitching this year for the Detroit Tigers, they haven't fared all that well. Look at this. Grossman, 0 ISO power number. Meadows, 105. Candelario, 0.071. Cabrera, 0.087. Keep in mind, 0.175 is the average in Major League Baseball. That's a decent number to have, and they're well below that. Same thing with their weighted on-base percentages. I know it sounds like a broken record and boring. We're waiting for the Yankees to break out, and quite frankly, Kevin, they should. If we take a look at Rodriguez, he's been a disaster. 38 batters that he's faced this year, everybody seems like they've gotten a base hit on. And then you take a look at the Yankees lineup. Aaron Hicks, out of the leadoff position, has had 11 at-bats this year, Kevin, versus left-handed pitching. He's done very well. Outside of DJ LeMahieu, who's a righty, who's done well in his 7 at-bats. Again, we don't have very much to go off of here. Everybody else has been struggling for the Yanks. Do I think the Yankees win this game? Yeah, but I'm going to bet that a 7.5 for a Yankees game, and I'm leaning towards the under. Man, what year is this?
Yeah, it's tough. That's not how you draw it up at all. I think you could, you know, even look maybe, Donnie, the Yanks first 5 run line, lay that half run there where they actively need to be winning can make some sense. Don't forget, Eduardo Rodriguez is a pitcher they have a lot of experience up against because of his time in Boston. Gleyber Torres has enjoyed a lot of success versus him, as DJ LeMahieu. LeMahieu pretty much is always great versus lefties there. Actually, yesterday, I wanted to bring this up just quickly because I know, you know, Donnie, obviously, and everything he does, he's so good with all the numbers. Yesterday, there was a couple of spots where I just wanted to try and focus on righty-lefty matchups, and I just kind of ran out the Aaron Hicks, DJ LeMahieu hitter prop parlay. Now, the funny thing is it comes in, LeMahieu gets his hit off of a righty, but, you know, that ability, Donnie, to say, listen, this guy smashes lefties or this guy smashes righties, right? Because, we're early season, so we're trying to figure out what can we use. You know, prior history always helps. But when this guy dominates one side of the dish or, you know, certain, you know, pitching, you know, whether it be a righty or a lefty, you can really start to turn those things up.
Yes, you can. And that's when it gets good because and just to bring in some prior things here, because, you know, flying or betting, as I like to say, without a radar in April, you're just lining things up, eyeball test, what you think makes some sense, lefty righty splits. Yesterday, telling you, like in the Arizona Diamondbacks game to start, like, hey, they're going to throw they have a lot of lefties to get after Josiah Gray. He might as well win the Cy Young yesterday. So it doesn't always work out where you just say to yourself, let me just load up on lefty bats against a right-handed pitcher and they should be able to hit, because quite frankly, you still need really good lefty bats to hit anybody in Major League Baseball at this time. But I see where you're going early in the season, because sometimes where you say, okay, this guy's faced this batter a certain amount of times, or this guy has seen this pitcher a certain amount of times, it just goes back to the old school elements. What works out better for you? A lefty on lefty matchup. The lefty pitcher is supposed to get the lefty batter out, and vice versa, the opposite way. If I have a lefty pitcher, I'm a right bat, I'm supposed to have the advantage. Sometimes just lean on that type of stuff here, Kevin, early in the baseball season.
Yeah, and the thing with baseball, right, is like there's just so many different splits that you can pull up, right, to really try kind of narrow the groups down. And the other thing, too, you know, not everyone, right, but you open up the plus money. So, you know, right now, if you were to go back to the LeMahieu Hicks thing, right now it sits at plus 111 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? That you can go 500 if you're rocking with plus money and you can find yourself a successful day on the diamond, which has been one of the treats of betting Major League Baseball early this season. I don't want to push through any other games just yet. We got the NBA preview coming up. There's a couple of other spots that I wanted to talk about, including one spot that really catches the eye in Boston. Two lineups absolutely loaded for bear. They had runners on very early and often in that game. They could not cash. They go at it again today. It's Pivetta and Berrios. And Toronto's a favorite in Fenway Park off that loss. That will be a fun one to break down. We'll sneak the Mets game in, then we'll get ourselves over to the NBA as well. This is the Early Line on Sports Grid. We'll be back after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the Early Line. Want to finish up just a couple of more from the Major League Baseball board, and we'll get over to the NBA playoffs here, Donnie. Pivetta Berrios feels like a mismatch. Feels like a mismatch to me. If Berrios is at least going to kind of live up to the billing here, I feel like what we've been given from Nick Pivetta early season is kind of what's been anticipated. How do you feel about Boston as a dog at Fenway Park?
Yeah, Boston should be a dog, I guess, just based on name recognition, right? Because Berrios is a much better pitcher than Nick Pivetta overall is. Nick Pivetta is one of those guys right now that's pitching for his life. So they say, well, he needs to pitch well to stay in the major league. That doesn't mean you're just going to pitch well, because apparently he's not doing that and certainly not doing it effective enough. Yeah. 6.31 xFIP here just to start the season, 35 batters in, and lefties have absolutely been smoking him. Now, if there's one thing that you could say is this lineup that you're going to see from the Toronto Blue Jays is a right-handed dominant lineup where he's been okay, talking about Nick Pivetta getting out right-handed batters. But then if you flip it over to the opposite side here, you know, Berrios was brought over to be the ace of the staff. Like, hey, hold it down for us. How about an 8.77 xFIP, Kevin, to start the season, only striking out 16% of the batters he's facing, also walking 16% of the batters that he's faced. And take a look at this. Again, we're only through 31 batters that he's faced The lefties, Kevin, a 7.14, excuse me, a 0.714 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 384. So equal opportunity chance to smash. Now, you're in Boston. We're still looking at temperatures, Kevin, at game time in the mid-40s with a light wind blowing. Maybe in the summer this would heat up, but if I'm trying to take my recency bias here out of Major League Baseball and saying, like, you can't take overs, you just have to go unders, because it doesn't go, you know, hand in hand, right? We're not saying, like, oh, you just bet every single under, you're going to win a ton of money. Sooner or later, that's going to change over. But if you're looking for an over here, it's a small ballpark. I know it's going to be cooler temperatures. But when you have two pitchers that are struggling against two decent lineups in a smaller ballpark, sooner or later, it's supposed to work out. And I think it might work out today.
Yeah, it's – Pavetta's a guy, again, I don't think people are going to be too scared of targeting there. It worked his last outing in Fenway Park versus the Minnesota Twins. Absolutely taken a task by that team. Toronto's no walk in the park either. A couple of guys that have some good numbers versus him, both Bo Bichette and George Springer. The hitter prop parlay is a little expensive, but maybe it comes down throughout the day. Last one here, Donnie, I think we'll hit. Mets and Giants. The New York Mets, look, they're good, man. They're good. It's Bassett. It's Rodon. I don't know about this number, though. Is this a Giants are too good to be swept number? I mean, what's the deal here? I favorites and Rodon, is this much better than Bassett? I feel like I'm missing something, Donnie.
I think the Giants, it does feel like that. And I've always prefaced myself saying, like, just because, oh, it's hard to sweep, you can't take a team and never take a team to sweep. That's not the case here, because each game is in its individual cap here. But if we're looking at Rodon, he's been sensational to start the season, Kevin. I mean, he's a lefty on the mound, a 2.44 xFIP number. And look at this. Like, he's faced, what, 45 batters this year, Kevin. 47% of those have struck out. Like, when you talk about April baseball, where it's just tough enough just to put your bat on the baseball, he's certainly making bats miss his baseball. And if you look at from a perspective of saying, okay, he's a lefty, right? So right-handers probably doing a little bit of damage against him. Nothing. 211 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number. Minuscule, Kevin. 0.063. But if we look at that lineup here, they're going to stack heavy right-handed bats against Rodon. But again, that hasn't worked early on. If we flip it over to the opposite side here and say, okay, Bassett, he's been wonderful as well in those 44 batters that he's faced. He's been great against lefties and righties. But the lineup here for the San Francisco Giants has done very well. One of the few teams against right-handed pitching, which is astounding. A lot of guys in this anticipated starting lineup in the green for me. So I agree with that line here. If we're looking at a -116 price here for the Giants at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I think the Giants get it done today. I do.
Man, it's – I get you. I hear you. I don't – the Bassett expectations I thought would be a little bit higher. Maybe I'm not giving Rodon enough credit here. One guy, though, that has seen Carlos Rodon a ton from the Central days is Francisco Lindor. Obviously, both have moved on. Francisco Lindor, by the way, has been everything the Mets were hoping to start this season. Early return, sure. 310 average, 3 homers, 9 RBIs. Very, very well. Doing very well in that Mets lineup. Maybe has a nice day here. 2-plus bags, plus 140, couple different options if you want to spin it around. Let's stay in New York, but let's go to the NBA. The game's not New York. You get the deal, though. It's going to be the Nets and the Celtics here. The line is 3 after being 4 for game number 1. The total is 226. Boston and Brooklyn, game number 2. I want to start by talking about the series prices, though. Boston goes to -205 on the series price. Brooklyn goes to +172. The Nets still kind of favor to force this to go to at least a 7th game if you go to the series correct score. The shortest number, actually, though, is Boston in 5 at +330. Not too far behind would be Boston in 7 at a +350. Donnie, we look at Nets-Celtics. What is catching your eye? Is it from the series prices, or are you looking at tonight's game for some value?
I guess it would be the series price overall for me because, you know, forget about handicapping the series. It was simple for me heading into it. I said I thought the Boston Celtics were the better team, but the caveat was whoever won game one was going to win this series. And it sounds ludicrous. Like, why would you – what does that even mean? Like, nobody's ever come down from an 0-1 deficit. That's not necessarily what I meant. But the games are going to be so close. And it came down to a buzzer-beating layup here for Boston at home even to get that win. But I think these teams are so evenly matched across the board here that every single win is going to matter. Like, if you would have said to me the same thing, whoever wins game one, I wouldn't change. Oh, you know, even though Boston couldn't get that layup at the buzzer, that's okay. They lost game one. I still think they're going to win the series. I would have actually said the Nets were going to win the series. That's how close I think it is, which is exactly what we're seeing now. Boston as a minus 3-point favorite here. This is how close it's going to be, over under at 226. So for me, do I want to necessarily bet, Kevin, a 2-to-1 price here for the Celtics to win the series? But if I have to stick to my convictions here overall between these two teams, and I said that the winner of game one is going to win the series, then that's probably the easiest pathway for me to pick up money, even if I have to lay a 2-to-1 price to do that. Celtics are the better team. Do I think they win tonight? Yeah. But even if the Celtics lose tonight, I still think they're going to win the series overall. Give me the Celtics price at that minus $2.
I'm more than fine if someone says this game is, you know, because I laid down, it was Raptors and Sixers, right? And we both agreed it was more important for Philly to go up 2-0. Toronto, we're going to Toronto, kind of figure it out here. Boston is going to be able to win in the Barclays Center. We've gone over this, right? You know, you can win at the Barclays Center. Brooklyn really needs this to level up here tonight. They need to even this series up. You know, the interesting thing is Kyrie going to have some regression? I mean, I would think so. 39 points, 12 of 20 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. Kevin Durant has to step up. Kevin Durant has to step up in this game. His points prop tonight, Donnie's 30.5. I think you're getting a little bit of a discount tonight on KD coming off of a bad playoff performance. I don't think you can bank on that happening twice. And by the way, Boston did a lot to make that the case. I don't want to act as if it was just all random variants there, but Kevin Durant will adjust, adapt, and I anticipate start to fill it up a lot more here. I have to say, though, too, Donnie, I think this total now at 226, I don't want to get suckered in here, but this game went over. I know it didn't go over by a ton, but it was a very low-scoring fourth quarter. Boston themselves only scored 19 points. I think there's too much offensively on both of these basketball teams for anything under a 230 marker. I think 226, I think you play over the number.
Yeah, and you know, offensive fluidity on both sides, right? That's what you're looking at here. We're not really looking at a defensive. So when you think about the Brooklyn Nets, you know, until I guess Ben Simmons might come back and help them out, you don't really take a look at their defensive prowess. And if you even take a look at the player points props, that leads you in the right direction. Kevin Durant, 30.5. Kyrie Irving, 28.5. Jason Tatum, 30.5. Jaylen Brown, 26.5. We're expecting points in this game. And also, usually for me, the game that's tougher to gauge typically is game one. A little bit of nerves coming in. Both of the teams been off, or excuse me, at least the Celtics have been off a little bit longer while the Nets had to come in through a play-in round. But now both of these teams certainly know each other from being in the Eastern Conference and doing battle all season. But at the same time, I'm not worried about pace and tempo here because these are both of these squads that can really fill it up, particularly the Nets. The Nets don't have to run fast because you know Kevin Durant can have an unbelievably high usage rate and go 14 of 17 from the field. We've seen it do it before. And Kyrie Irving. Oh, look, Kyrie's got 22 at the half. Doesn't surprise me at all. I agree with you on the total of this game. I do think even though the MO is take the unders in playoff basketball, this game doesn't really feel like that typical playoff game. There's too many star athletes out there for me.
Yeah, and again, I think you're going to see a lot from KD. There's a you go under the player points tab on the FanDuel Sportsbook, top point scorer in the game, Tatum favorite, plus 185. Durant checks in, plus 195. Kyrie is plus 290. Jaylen Brown, plus 470. And then you basically can name your price on anybody outside of those top four guys. KD at plus 195, I think you can line that up. I would say, though, if you're going to bet that, you're going to want to bet the points prop. We know Tatum has the ability to absolutely microwave here. I think you're going to line it up for a big Kevin Durant game. And I'll just say this here on the series price tonight. If Brooklyn wins, I'm struggling to get a true read on what the series price is going to look like. Is it minus 125 Boston? Is it pick 'em each way? Because I know what happens if Boston wins, right, Donnie? We're up to a minus 300 range, minus 350 range if it's 2-0. I don't know what this looks like if it's 1-1.
I actually think Brooklyn takes the actual light lead there. I do, because you would have a 1-1 game going back to their home court. I actually think the Nets would be the favorite to win the series at that point.
Yeah, minus 115, right? Super, super tight. Super tight series. Excited for the game. More NBA preview coming up here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Postseason action rolls on here. We go to game number 2 in Milwaukee as the Bucks are going to host the Chicago Bulls as a 10-point favorite. Total plummets, Donnie. 230 pregame, 225 now. It was 230 in game number 1. 5-point drop because of the game 1 result. Let me ask you just quickly, before we even to kind of get into the meat and potatoes of this game, do you have any thoughts on the idea that after just one game of playoff basketball, the odds makers are you know, kind of willing to move so far off of what their opening number was? And maybe an idea as to why they're so willing to move so far off of the number?
Just the betting markets. I mean, that's what they're going to ask for, right? You're not really setting the line on what you think like it's going to actually turn out. It's where the betting markets are going to come in, and that's where people are going to start, you know, siding which side they like. So I don't have any issues here if a bookmaker is going to turn one on its head because that's where the price is going, Kevin.
Yeah, I think the problem, you know, for me is I look at this spot here, and I feel despite the low-scoring tighter nature of game 1, I don't feel very different about kind of my predictions kind of in the series of more overs, more up-tempo, and bigger games from DeMar DeRozan. I don't want to be naive, but Donnie, I like DeMar over 27.5 in his first game. Now, that did not come in, but he shot it 25 times. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to come back to that, Donnie. The Milwaukee Bucks, I had a first-half team total over 59.5 points. They scored 34 in the first quarter. Now, that did not come in, but that's rare, the 17 that they mustered up in the second quarter. I think that this team can stay hot for a game. I think they can carry a total. Them, you know, these two teams, Donnie, shooting a combined 17 of 75 from 3. I'm not sure that's going to last here, Donnie. I look at this game and I feel the same way I did about game number 1. I expect points.
No, and you know what's interesting about this game overall, too, because you see the Milwaukee Bucks here favored by 10 points, which is a lot in the playoffs, and you saw a game last night, 10-point favorite here, Phoenix Suns, where they were upset. Now we're saying that Milwaukee's going to get injured or Giannis is going to be able to finish the game. No, but watching game 1, and sometimes you can't just take an eyeball test and move it from game 1 to game 2 and say this is how the series, Kevin, is actually going to play out. But the reason I bring it up is that game was there for the Bulls to win. Like, I looked at that game more of not that the Bulls played great, but they were grimy enough and gritty enough to hang around, but just couldn't make shots. And I was looking at the Milwaukee Bucks side going, okay, Giannis is in foul trouble. They're not making anything either. So if we just go back to even standards and getting average performances out of both sides, the Milwaukee Bucks should run again on the Chicago Bulls because it's not going to be one of those games where you see maybe, and hey, look, depending on referees here, we've seen some guys get in foul trouble right away, you know, some series like the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors that we'll get to where people are questioning foul calls there. So I doubt Giannis is going to be in foul trouble again where he's going to have to sit out a large portion of the fourth quarter. And let's just say it plays off like that. Milwaukee's just better man-to-man. So unless DeMar DeRozan, Kevin, goes nuts for 37 points, which he can, or Zach LaVine wakes up and actually starts knocking down some wide-open three-point shots, I just look for more of the same. And the way this game ended last time was, hey, the Bulls should have won. They didn't. They almost didn't cover that game. Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks, you say, okay, enough with the funny business here. As we rolled into game 1 and weren't prepared, we're ready to go now. We should be able to blow this team off the court.
Yeah, I said I think they're going to win one of the first two in Milwaukee by like 20. They did not obviously do that in game number 1. I think the Bucks have a chance to win big here tonight versus the Chicago Bulls. We've kind of, you know, gone over this countless times. They are markedly better. I guess the one thing, Donnie, that you try not to – you know, get caught by is what happened to the Phoenix Suns with the New Orleans Pelicans. And that is to say, you know, the comfortable assumption, how could Milwaukee ever lose this game? It's the postseason, team gets hot, something kind of goes wrong here. But I would be even more stunned, truthfully, if Milwaukee lost here to Chicago, even than I was when Phoenix lost that game to New Orleans. The first game number 3, Donnie, of the postseason is tonight. I can't stand this, by the way. These things upset me greatly, but nobody cares about that. Just the it's just the schedule. I don't know. Like they only get one day of rest, Donnie, to switch countries. Yeah. Like, I just can't stand it. Like, make literally anybody else do it. It makes no – by the way, three East Coast teams in action tonight. How does that make any sense here? That now the Bucks and the Bulls are playing at a 9:30 I just – besides the point. But it's the first game, number three, Donnie, in Raptors-Sixers. So that in of itself is a different animal for everybody in this postseason, right? Where Sixers are laying 6.5, 7 points. Now just 2.5 in Toronto. Total 216 and a hook. What do you think here, game number three up north?
Yeah, kitchen sink game, right? You're looking at the Toronto Raptors saying, okay, well, you know, we lost two games in Philadelphia, got blown out in both of those games, but we still get to go back to our home court and we can make a stand and climb back into this series. You don't climb back into the series, Kevin, without winning game three, because you go down 3-0, that's a wrap. You might not even make it back to Philadelphia at that point. So, but if we're looking here to be honest, you see that line. It's very short in the 76ers' favorite here. And quite frankly, I think it was 1.5 yesterday, so it's risen up a full point. I do think the Sixers are a better team and should win this game. Sixers a little bit banged up. Joel Embiid with that hyperextended elbow, Tyrese Maxey landing on his elbow as well and shoulder. But more injuries coming from a Toronto perspective here. And what are we going to get out of Scotty Barnes? I haven't heard any information that he's playing, so I'm going to assume he's probably going to miss tonight, or even if he does play, Kevin, going to be a little bit prohibited of moving around the court with all the fluidness that we've seen where with that ankle injury. But having said that, the Sixers still should be able to take care of their business. I don't know what would change from game one and game two where the Sixers did whatever they wanted to. And maybe just so simple as, well, the Sixers won't make as many of their wide open 3-point shots than they've had. It wasn't like, Kevin, where you were watching these first two games and going, man, Toronto's defense is unbelievable. How many times can you hit 3-point shots in, you know, with hands in your face? That hasn't been the case here. The spacing has been great. Tyrese Maxey's been wonderful. You're getting Tobias Harris each and every night now, giving you an honest effort. And you still have Joel Embiid and also James Harden. The two best players on the court by a wide margin are on the Sixers. They should win again tonight.
Yeah, so the interesting thing to me is, like, could you conceivably line up Toronto money line game three? Oh, it doesn't work, come back game four, right? It's like the idea that Toronto has to have a game. The difficult part of it is, right, like, it's not that Philly just won the first two games. They dominated the first two games. They looked just significantly better than the Toronto Raptors in both of those games. Like, the world where Toronto wins, it doesn't feel like the talking points are, yeah, you saw it coming a mile away. It's, well, man, what happened to Philly here? Like, you know, like who ultimately, you know, provides a clunker of a performance on the Sixers sideline? The Raptors have been a home underdog 8 times this season. They've covered four and four. They've only won twice. The Sixers have been excellent as a road favorite straight up this year. The other thing that the Sixers have done is they've played 70% of their games as a road favorite to the over this season at 17-7. I mean, this team, when they are, you know, a road favorite, it is overs, overs, overs. I know I have mentioned the over now for all three games on tonight's board. I am aware that that can be horrifying as we are into the NBA playoffs. I get you. I got you. I think these games have juice tonight. What can I say? I really do. That's the way I think they kind of line up here tonight. And I think part of the reason for that, Donnie, is the ebbs and flows are going to come. We're not going to end this postseason and every team's going to have played 15 straight unders, right? So that's part of the reason that I think you can kind of see some of the bounce back spots here on these totals for these games. From a props perspective, is there any number that you're interested in from whether you like to bet it or you think it's even just eye-catching?
I would say if we go to the Toronto Raptors, because it's going a pretty bad beat here on Fred VanVleet in game one, over 20.5 points, which was incredible that he lost that because he had 15 points in the first quarter and was lighting it up from 3-point range. And yesterday, I took a loss on Anthony Edwards going over, I believe it was 24.5 points. But in both of those games, each one of those players easily crossed over their three-point prop. So if I'm going to look today, and you have Fred VanVleet at 21.5, which is what he actually closed at in Game 2 versus Philadelphia, in order for Toronto to try to stay close, Fred VanVleet's probably going to have a big game. But if I'm going to take a look at a points perspective here, 21, he should get there. But if he is going to get there, it doesn't really correlate that he's probably making 4 or 5 3-point shots in the game to get him into the 20s. So if we take a look at Van Vliet, I don't think this is a bad price here. Over 3.5 3-point shots made at a minus 140 price. Because if you can tell me at the end of the game, Van Vliet's going to have 25 points but only make 2 3-point shots, I don't believe you there. He's going to have to make multiple 3-point shots to get that. And just like in the previous game where he didn't get to 21 points, but still made, I believe, 5 3-point shots, he's going to have to do the same here. So from a prop perspective in the Sixers game, even though I do think Van Vliet's going to have a high usage rate and should get his points total, I'm looking more towards a 3-point prop here for him as opposed to taking just the points like I lost with by a half point in game number 2.
Yeah, I think that – listen, I got to tell you, and we hate to do the sour grapes thing. Donnie's loss on FEV was horrendous. I'm not trying to out-horrendous him because I think they're both awful. Like Precious Achiuwa. We like to give people, you know, the stats and everything that backs up the stuff we're doing here. Precious Achiuwa might start tonight. Precious Achiuwa before last game versus Philly was 18-10 to the over of 6.5 rebounds in games he had started. Even more so, he was 10-3 to the over when he had played 30-plus minutes. Fantastically, he is now 18-11 as a starter, but he is still 10-3 when he plays 30 plus minutes, as he played only 29 minutes and sat on the bench for the last 16 minutes of the basketball game. I don't know. Like, should you come back to the Precious Achiuwa prop? Probably. Do I think I could sit there possibly and watch that same scenario play out again without losing my mind? No, I don't think I could. So I mean, we'll see what the number is. We'll see what the number is. But I just still, I don't know if I can line up a prop, Donnie, and then watch a starter get benched for the final 16 minutes of a basketball game because Nick Nurse thought he found something in the Chris Boucher, Kem Birch lineups. I mean, you got to be kidding me with this guy. I mean, Donnie, are people in Toronto trying to get refunds on their NN hats if this guy doesn't win a couple of games here or what?
Yeah, the founder, I mean, I guess whatever, the Canadian IRS might have to start investigating the Nick Nurse Foundation here because obviously it's a faulty foundation here versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And by the way, if the Raptors do come back and win, are we going to be sporting little like NN hats on here? Nice little look, like the all-black hat with the small little N's on there?
Let me tell you something. That for those that don't know, Nick Nurse sells the worst
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
Athlete apparel is a slant to the word athlete. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sport related, like apparel you will ever find. All black hat, 2 black letters, and a lowercase n and a lowercase n, 65 smackers. Unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable. Like the, I think it goes to charity. I can't tell you that with 100% certainty, Donnie, but man, I think I'd rather send the $65 and like tell them to keep the hat. That thing's terrible.
Man, I mean, Joel Embiid needs to get one of these. He needs to wear that Nick Nurse hat at a press conference when they eliminate Toronto. That would be Troel Embiid right there, and I need it.
Yeah. Someone send that idea his way. Here's another idea. Right here as Donnie asks you to listen up to close out today's early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day right here for the early line on a Wednesday. Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the grid. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, as always, carrying you from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now it's April. You guys know me. I wait a little bit of time in Major League Baseball here to start firing in team totals, and good for me so far. Because my question to you is, with all the unders in Major League Baseball, what's going on? Listen up. Hey, did you just hear that? Be quiet. Baseball isn't meant to be played in 40-degree temperatures. Baseball's meant to be played in the summer. Warm temperatures, family at the ballpark, ice cream, ice-cold beers, and hot dogs. Not ice-cold fans and ice-cold bats, which is what we're seeing through the majority of the Northeast and the Midwest to open the season in April. Now, as we sit here today on April 20th, sooner than later, it's going to get warmer. But what is the deal? Why can't teams hit? The Philadelphia Phillies were supposed to have a murderer's row lineup. Instead, they're only murdering their own team totals here to the under, it seems like, each and every night. You take a look at the Yankees here. What's going on with the Yanks? Yeah, it's great to pick up a victory, but the Yankees are supposed to pound the baseball, and they're not doing that. Take a look at yesterday, littered across the board here. 3-1, 5-2, what, 4-3. 2-1, 1-0. What is the deal out here? The unders typically are the way to go early in the season. I get it, but is it something bigger of a picture that we're missing here? Spider tack, where maybe that's coming back in, where they're using something different here. Obviously, the Major League Baseball is here in the humidors across Major League Baseball where they're being stored and no jump left in the bats. We need more home runs. People like home runs. People like runs, but also, we don't like strikeouts here. Every once in a while we do. If we bet a strikeout prop to the over, of course we're going to like that. But Major League Baseball is not an under sport. Let's bring back the overs and have a great summer. It's not long. Hopefully in May, heat is going to rise. Scores will rise. We'll do it here. Best guys, stay tuned here for Ben Stevens in the morning after right here on the Grid.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast.
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.